So our little three-week sermon series, which is a very brief look at the book of Jeremiah, is concluding today. We've talked about the fact that Jeremiah was prophesying, preaching in Judah. He also had some words for Israel as well. So Israel being the northern kingdom, Judah being the southern kingdom. So we also talked last week about the Old Testament imagery of the relationship of God and his people being that of bride and groom, God being the groom, the people being the bride. And in chapter 3 of Jeremiah, this imagery continues. He continues to use this image of a bride, except in this case, it is an unfaithful bride. It is a bride that actually, and the words are quite graphic in the Old Testament here, but a bride that is prostituting herself out to anyone who comes along. Kind of anyone, anything, any reason to cheat on God, this bride will do it. And that's the imagery that precedes the verses we're going to look at in chapter 3. He talks about Israel and Judah both having been extremely unfaithful. Really unfaithful in unimaginable ways. God has done so much and given so much to them, and yet they go cavorting after other gods with a little g. They're worshiping Baal in the actual temple for Yahweh. They have been about as unfaithful as they can be. And even in condemnation, we find in God's word a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, a God whose love knows no bounds. We're going to take a look at two texts from the book of Jeremiah today. The first is chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, faithless Israel, says the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, says the Lord, and I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt that you have rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among strangers under every green tree and have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. And then in chapter 7, verses 5 through 7, we hear this. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly one with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever. So there's an interesting backstory to this whole imagery of this unfaithful bride, this bride that has been prostituting herself out to anyone that comes along. You've got this imagery of this unfaithful bride. And in Jeremiah 3:1, God asks this question. If a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's wife, will he return to her? Now, there was a law at the time that said if a couple got divorced and the woman got remarried, that the original husband and the woman could never come together again. That was the law. That was the understanding of the time. And so we read in that first text in chapter 3 that God is willing to take back his bride that has been prostituting herself among the people. This kind of love, this kind of mercy is really unheard of. I mean, it really goes beyond the capacity of the legal mind of the Jew at the time to think about. That God has this kind of mercy and love for us is extraordinary. These words are pointing to a reconciliation based upon the fact, A, that the people face up to their evil. Repent, right? Recognize that they had abandoned their God. And this is something that goes beyond what is legally possible. It is a kind of mercy that really only God can show. With these words, we see that God is offering them a new beginning. Just repent. Say that what you've done is wrong, and I will start with you a new beginning. I will not be angry with you forever. I will bring you into my heart. But notice this has got a condition to it. It's not just, oh, you're my child, come back. It's, oh, you're my child, and recognize what you have done. And then I will take you to myself. I will welcome you. I will walk in relationship with you. Can you imagine that kind of love? I mean, if you were God and you had been treated this way, had been abandoned over and over and over again, despite your calls to come back, despite the prophets that you sent, people of Israel, people of Judah, return to me, I love you. Would you be so eager to show mercy? I'm not sure I would. There was a movie in 1998 that came out that was Les Miserables, not the musical, but an actual movie. And it's about this convict who had been in jail for 14 years for stealing a loaf of bread for his starving sister. Jean Valjean. He was released, and he didn't have quite a scarlet A, but he had a yellow passport. And it told everybody that he's a convict, that he's been in jail. And he shows up in this town, nobody would take him in. He couldn't even pay to stay in an inn. And there was a bishop there. A bishop who took pity upon him, brought him into his home, treated him as a worthy person, fed him food, ate dinner with him, gave him hospitality and caring and love. And that night, Jean Valjean wakes up in the middle of the night and begins to steal all their silver. He's putting it in his backpack, and the bishop hears a noise, and he comes and confronts him, and Jean Valjean hits him and knocks him out. He proceeds to steal a bunch of more silver, and he leaves. The next day, there is this scene of the woman of the house sitting there over this empty silver chest. They had all the places for all the forks and all the knives. And she was crying. The bishop was working. And the police come. And they have Jean Valjean. And they have the backpack full of silver. And the policeman says, "We found this guy. And he says he was a guest of yours and that you gave him this silver." And the bishop said, "Yes. Yes, I did. I gave him the silver." But he said, "Jean Valjean, I am so angry at you. Why did you not take the candlesticks too?" And so he took the candlesticks and he put them in the bag. And he sent the policeman away to have some wine with the lady of the house. And there's this great scene where he pulls Jean Valjean's hood back and he stares him in the eye and says, "You promised to be a new man. And now I have bought your soul with this silver. You take it. I have ransomed you from hate and evil, and I am returning you back to God." That's the kind of forgiveness that God gives us. That's the kind of forgiveness that God is calling upon us to give to others. I mean, I watched that scene, and that little old lady looking over the silver chest is so relieved that the police have brought him back, and she is so astounded that the bishop is sending him away with more silver. That's the kind of love that God has for us. That's the kind of forgiveness that God has for us. I mean, my instinct would have been to slap Jean Valjean, take my silver, and let him go back off to jail. But that's not what God calls of us. That's not the example that God has laid out for us. With this new beginning that God is offering, there comes the promise on our part of a new way of being. And it really isn't a tit for tat. It should be our response to this gift of grace, this gift of forgiveness that God has given to us, to become a new person, to be more Christ-like in all that we do. What God offered to the people of Judah, what God offered to the people of Israel, what the bishop offered to Jean Valjean, and what God offers to all the world is forgiveness. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall never die, but have eternal life." You see, God sent Jesus into the world that we might have a new beginning, that we might have the opportunity to be a new man or a new woman, that we might have the opportunity to follow Jesus and his teachings. We have this opportunity to begin a new life in Christ that begins in this lifetime. We experience salvation now, and it ends with eternal life in paradise. This means that you're never too far gone to be forgiven. Now, y'all all look like nice people. I'm sure you haven't done horrible, terrible things in your life. But it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far or how hard you have run from God. He is ready to forgive you for whatever it is. What is it that might be separating you? What is it that might be keeping you from saying yes to this gift of forgiveness that comes through us to God? I mean, I don't know about you, but my first instinct is to go, are there strings attached? This offer sounds too good to be true. But it is true. And the truth is that you are never too far gone to be redeemed by the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. But here's the deal. In order to be forgiven, you have to forgive. We just prayed it. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I'm not sure that it's exactly true that we only get forgiven as we forgive. But that's what we say in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We are to forgive others. That's our call as a follower of Jesus Christ. We are in the forgiveness business as a follower of Jesus. And look, sometimes that means you forgive yourself. That sometimes is the hardest thing to do, right? Is to forgive yourself for your failings, forgive yourself for your mistakes. You have to forgive yourself as well as others. That's what we do as followers of Jesus. In order to truly experience the forgiveness that comes through Jesus the Christ, we have to be willing to forgive others. For trespasses, real or perceived. We are called to do that. We pray that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. We are reminded that we are to forgive. I got to tell you, holding a grudge, holding hate in your heart, it's hard. I've tried it. Long time ago, I tried it. And it was terrible. It was like just like carrying around a nasty old Kleenex. It's horrible. Except it was in my heart. And it got in the way of so much. I finally let it go. And it was a glorious day. Sometimes forgiveness takes work. I mean, we don't get to just say it, and it happens in our head and our heart. It takes effort. It takes prayer. You are never too far from God. You are never too far gone. You are forgiven. It's our job to forgive others. That means that our relationships with others are never too far gone as well. That we can forgive. That we can reconcile. And the great news for us is that God is waiting. God wants to reconcile with you. God wants to forgive you. Outstanding news. The mercy of God has come to your house. And He stands ready to forgive you. No matter what. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this day, recognizing the gift of forgiveness that you have given to us and that we are so unworthy of. Father, help us in our unbelief. Father, help us to forgive as you have forgiven us. Father, help us to be all that you are calling us to be. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.